وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان على النبي من حرج فيما فرض الله له سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. Respected friends and members, before we begin, it is imperative that we express our gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for firstly having favored us with the great wealth of Iman. Secondly, we express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having made us from amongst the followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected friends, I am aware of the fact that many of us, if not all of us, have had a long day at work, and I'll try my best not to take too much of your time. I'll try to the best of my ability to keep what I have to say as brief as possible, so that it will facilitate a person having to make him to go home and maybe to do some errands of some sort. Before we begin, friends and elders, with our topic, one of the interesting aspects, one of the most important aspects as for us as believers, friends and elders, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a corpus of law. The Quran Kareem, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the corpus of law is not dry in nature, it's not fictitious in nature. It's not something which is existent but not existent. In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to the corpus of law, has also given us a personality. That personality who can demonstrate to us that this corpus of law is possible to practice. Had it been Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just given injunctions to mankind, and without any example of how can it be implemented, in what circumstances can a person practice his deen, in what circumstances can a person maybe omit some aspect of deen, what would we have done? So, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, He has favored us with the corpus of law, but added to that as a person, as an individual. And added to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, made this person a human being. And this person being someone from another realm, or a person who is from amongst the malaika, then although that person may have implemented the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would have been impossible for us to practice on, because we are not on the same footing. That person is from amongst the malaika, that being is from amongst the malaika, and we are from humankind. So how would we be able to practice on deen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given us a personality in the form of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Before we proceed with our topic, I just want to very quickly go through five of the most important reasons why we study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it important for us to look at the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to endeavor to implement the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The first reason is that we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because it is an injunction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wa nuri alladhi. So, ila akhir al-ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an injunction. It's an imperative verb, Aminu. Bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring iman in His Rasul, in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, iman in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entails believing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born miraculously, or believing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a person who is sinless, or believing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the final messenger, or believing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be from amongst the humankind, not from amongst the malaika. This is part of your belief in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first reason why we do it is because it is an injunction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we do it because it is a manifestation of our love. If we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a sign and a manifestation of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
is a sign that we ultimately love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in studying his lifestyle, we imply and we impress upon the minds of people around us that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we all acknowledge this fact that the Sahaba had ultimate love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they manifested this? They did it by showing how they loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for example, you'll find the Sahabi by the name of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned that on one occasion he went with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was called by someone to partake of some meals. So he was sitting on the table with Nabi on the dastarkhan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, food is waiting, and he observed that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is partaking of pumpkin, but he's doing it with great relish. So Anas radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that from this day on, because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eating pumpkin with relish, I also began to love him. So he loved pumpkin. He saw it being implemented by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, if this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing, it's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he went ahead with it. Similarly, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, the Sahabi who was instrumental in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara. This person says that on one occasion I was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some drink was presented before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in it, amongst the ingredients, was something extracted from curry. And when I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a version, he did not want to partake of it. So I asked him, is it haram? He said, no, it's not haram. It's just that I have a natural aversion to this. It's not haram. It's permissible for my ummah to consume it. But I have a natural aversion to this specific ayah, this specific ingredient. So he says that when I saw this in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also said, this is the right thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. Hence, he also abstained from it. So friends and elders, we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look at it, we implement it in our life because it is a manifestation of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, the reason why we love a person, if you analyze this to this day, the reason why you attach to some person, you like maybe, let's say, your father or your mother or your friend or any person who you see as a role model, the reason why you love that person for a specific reason. You see salient qualities in that person. You see that the person is honest. You see that the person is trustworthy. You see that the person is generous. So you find all these qualities in a person and now you become attached to that person. In the same way, we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the epitome of all good. Everything good that you can possibly perceive is in this personality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you study his lifetime because these are the qualities you're looking for. So this is why we look at the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the third reason. The fourth reason is that when you study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more you study him, it is as if you are seeing this man. You are seeing all these good qualities. It's like a person who's desperate. You're down and out, you're not succeeding in your relationship. You're not succeeding at work, you can't mentor people, you can't see people, you're looking for the right person to speak to you to offload all your problems. And this is the person who you find, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the man who has all those qualities in him. This is the person that you want to see. The more you study his lifestyle, it will be as if this person is genuinely existing in front of you. This is the person you can now speak to, you can converse with, you can ask him by your means, intercede before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me. So this is why you study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the more you go into it, as if you are witnessing this being in front of you, is in your presence. This is why when a person goes to Medina Munawwara, we generally advise that a person must perceive that, you know, although leave alone the technical arguments, the beliefs of a believer, what are we supposed to believe regarding the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is he equivalent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of being omnipresent? Leave all that aside. All we're saying is when a person visits Medina Munawwara, imagine that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just you. If you're in this room, he could be just here next to me. If he's here, he's observing how I'm eating. If I'm here, he's observing how I'm sleeping. So observe or perceive that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just here in front of me. He's seeing how I'm behaving. He may be witnessing how I may be abiding by the sunnah or I may be omitting the sunnah. So this is one of the reasons why we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the more we study it, it is more real, it becomes a genuine concept in the life of a believer. And the first reason why we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we look at it, we implement it in our life, it is because it is a source of love, it is a source of a person deriving pleasure from. When you study the lifestyle of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you derive a certain form of pleasure. To this day, there are people in our community, they may be very simply looking people, but they genuinely love the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person may not be having a fully grown beard, or he may not be dressing like a Muslim, or the semblance of a believer, but deep down in his heart, he loves Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, it is important for that person to study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at it more and more, listen to it more and more, read about it more and more. So, these are the five reasons why we study the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming to our topic, friends and elders, you find that if you were to spend the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the first things you would see him doing is waking up early in the morning. And when you walk in the morning, if you were to spend the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would see it in the eyes of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She says when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke, he woke when it was the time when the cock was crowing. At that time he woke, his eyes opened at that time. And he would perform two rakats of salah, but before coming to two rakats of salah, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam valued the first part of his morning so much. Sakhar bin Hamidi radiallahu ta'ala an sahabi. Again, if you're spending the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see it in the light in the eyes of this man. He says whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched an army, he always did it in the morning. And he always saw it as a means of blessing for that army. He made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with victory. So he did this in the morning, all important tasks he embarked on in the morning. Similarly, you find on one occasion Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was lying down after sunrise, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept her. He said, "Oh Fatima, this is the time of the morning between Subah Sadiq, the break of dawn, and sunrise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distributing risk, is distributing sustenance at this time in the morning. So awaken, come, to try and engage in some activity so that you can be blessed with barakah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So, friends and elders, if we were to spend the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would realize the extent to which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached value to his time. Today, friends and elders, we don't need to name and shake any individual. You and I, we need to carry out some introspection. How much of time you and I waste? A lot of our time just goes whiling away. We don't do anything. It's not spent productively. So friends and elders, you find, let's take a more contemporary example that I found recently. A person by the name of, a scholar by the name of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. This person authored so many books, it is mentioned in, passed away at the age of 86. Now let's assume that this person became Baligh at the age of 14. So this leaves him with 72 years of lifetime. It is mentioned that on average, living 72 years, on average, this person, if he started authoring books and writing books, valuing his time at the age of 14, he wrote roughly 14 pages a day. And when you calculate the 72 years of his lifetime, every day writing 14 pages, it comes out to roughly 358,000 pages. You have authored 358,000 pages in a man's lifetime. Can you imagine how much of value the person must have attached to his time? So if you spent a day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the first observations you would have made is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke early in the morning. Now although it has become a norm for us today to start our day at 8, 9 o'clock, but friends and elders, in our individual capacity, as far as possible, try and start the day early. Even if it may not be your routine work, your employment, but for some, maybe some household work, whatever it is, but start the work early in the morning, hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless it with immense barakah. Secondly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after awaking, he would make miswak, he would make use of the miswak. Kana yashu sufahu, he used to use a miswak. Now, the hadith is common knowledge to all of us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used a miswak. The point I want to make, friends and elders, is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this prior to making his two rakats of Tahajjud Salah. The point I want to make is that if you want to spend the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what you would see him doing prior to performing Tahajjud Salah, not prior to going to work or prior to meeting someone. So, the reason why we cleanse ourselves is not primarily because we're going to interact with a person mustn't pick up a bad odor from our mouth. The reason is ultimately that my mouth must be pure in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My presentation must not only be pure for the sake of mankind, it must be pure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why a person must use a miswak. Look at it. If you spend the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would see him doing this prior to performing two rakats of Tahajjud Salah, not prior to meeting people of the Sahaba. Further on, you find when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drawn his clothing, he will start with the right side. Always wearing the right sleeve first, then the left sleeve, and then wearing his clothing, putting on the neck portion. Now friends and elders, you will find that if you spend the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whether you're a wealthy person or maybe a slightly battling person, but if you wanted to adopt complete simplicity and wear stitched clothing, that's what you would have observed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing. He said something to this, اِعْلَمُوا اِعْلَمُوا إِنَّ الْبَلَادَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Wearing clothing with stitches on them is also from Iman. It is a sign of a believer to wear some clothing that has got stitches on it. So friends and elders, if you spend the day of Nabi, with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what you would see him doing. At times, he would be wearing clothing which had stitches on it. And if a person is maybe more blessed than others in terms of wealth and his position, if he is witnessing the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would also see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing beautiful clothes. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have advised that person sitting there that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see the effect of his blessing on a person. So if a person blessed you with wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love to see that blessing manifest itself. So you dress nicely. So friends and elders, while it is commendable, there's this balance in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were days when he wore clothing with stitches. There were days when he wore clothing that was immaculately nice and beautiful. So the balance is there in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All we are saying, friends and elders, is that when a person dresses, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him, he must be dressing so shoddy that a person now wants to give him zakat, or a person wants to give him some form of sadaqah. A person, there's an equal balance in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both sides are found in the personality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, if you were to be witnessing the day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the aspects you would see him doing is he would recite the Quran al-Kareem in the morning. And something to this effect that, إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُولًا. The Quran of the morning, the Quran that is recited in the morning, that is witnessed by the malaika. Because remember in other ahadith it is mentioned that in the morning period, around the time of Subah Sadiq, dawn or sunrise, the malaika change shifts, so to say. So the malaika of the evening, they depart, the malaika of the day now come down, and they spend the day with the person recording his good deeds and bad deeds. So at that moment when the malaika are changing their shifts, so to say, that is when they're coming into this world, they all are present in this world, and then they witness the person reciting the Quran al-Kareem. So if you spend your day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is one of the aspects you will see him doing. Proceeding further, friends and elders, you find that in this day and age, you find there's something called, in addition to normal schools, we find, you have what you call polishing schools. People like high-flying people, like presidents, very, very senior people go to what they call polishing schools. And in these type of schools, in addition to the education you receive, the normal education everyone else would be receiving, you receive education regarding mannerisms, how you conduct yourself. This is why when you see a person, a president, when he's shaking his hand, he's not doing it like how me and you do it. He does it in a specific way. He must pose in a specific way. He must bend down in a specific way. So they have polishing schools. But friends and elders, if you analyze, if you spend your day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at some of the aspects in his day, chosen aspects that are relevant to his day, not aspects that happen on occasion. In his day, look at how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged polishing your lifestyle. On one occasion, regarding the manners of eating, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abi Salama, he says that on one occasion I was eating before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was witnessing me eating. And he saw me eating, my hand was going this side, that side of the plate, and he said, oh Abu Umar, he eat with your right hand and eat from what's in front of you. So look at how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted polishing your ways when you eat. He even said on one occasion, the Sahabi's name is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, this person was in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kajur was presented, dates were presented, and he took more than one. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't take more than one, take only one at a time. Now, isn't this the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This all emanates, this polishing our day-to-day lives, emanates from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if a person were to take more than one, can you imagine yourself, you're offering something to someone and someone takes two or three items. You'll say the person is greedy. He's got something wrong with him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching you in the sunnah. When you eat, when something is offered to you, take one at a time. If you're partaking of meals, take a little bit. If you want more, take more later. But don't dish out so much. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is polishing your lifestyle for you. Similarly, you find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is polishing the lifestyles of his ummah. He's telling you that when two of you are in conversation and there's another person who's not part of your conversation, then try and avoid whispering to one another. Because if you whisper or you giggle to one another, the impression that is given to that third party is that you're talking about him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is imparting in his day-to-day life, he's telling you, don't do this thing. If you see a third person and you're whispering to your colleague, or you may be talking in another language that this person doesn't understand, avoid them, because it's causing harm to the heart of that believer. Friends and elders, see, if you're spending your day with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the things he'll tell you to do, these are the things you'll witness him doing. Similarly, you find a sahabi by the name of Jabir radiallahu anhu, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his later life, he's polishing the lifestyle of his sahaba and the ummah as well. Jabir radiallahu anhu comes to the door. He knocks on the door. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, who's there? He says, me, it's me, it's me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, me, you, who's there? As if he didn't like it. So Jabir, when he came into the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him. In a nice way, he said, this is not how you respond to a person. You say who you are, you identify yourself, so that the person can grant you entry appropriate. So look at how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his day-to-day life, he's teaching his sahaba, if you were spending your day with him, you would see this in the eyes of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. Similarly, you find in the speech of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, there's these ahadi that we've selected here. There's no history saying when did this happen on this day, this happened on that day. These are day-to-day things. So regarding his speech, could he have remained silent on a specific day? No. He spoke every day. But regarding his speech, every word was calculated. And when he spoke, he said that he emphasized the choice of words. He wanted the Sahaba and his Ummah as well to choose the specific words. So you find that in the Quran al-Karim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he revealed this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا. Oh my Sahaba, do not say رَاعِنَا. Do not say, when you come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't say رَاعِنَا, consider us. Don't use that word. Rather say انظُرْنَا. Look at us or give attention to us. Rather use that interpretation. Why? Because the Jews have this word. When they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say رَاعِنَا. Because this word is used by the Jews, there's a negative connotation to this word. Don't use it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's speech was also such that he emphasized the choice of a person's word. And this is why, friends and elders, this aspect I've selected, because it has become so commonplace that a person nowadays, we use slang, we talk anyhow, we pass on our messages anyhow, and you find that it's the manners in which, the ways in which we say things, maybe I'm also saying something of this, so Allah forgive me, but the ways in which we say things are hurtful to other people. So friends and elders, we learn this from the Surah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how to choose our language, how to choose our words. Further on, you find if you are witnessing the day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're spending time in his company, and you want to observe his ibadah, you would see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created a balance in his ibadah. On one occasion, a few Sahaba came to the house of the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, let's inquire about his worship. So they asked the wives. And the wives responded appropriately, obviously not in the opening themselves up, in a concealed manner. They responded to the Sahaba, saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes he eats, sometimes he drinks, sometimes he fasts, sometimes he performs salah, sometimes he doesn't perform his salah, and he's also married. The Sahaba said, we can do more than this. This is too little. This is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He's been forgiven. All his sins are forgiven, but we can do more than this. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard this, and he said that my way is the correct way. This is the way that has been implied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within me, and this is how I do. I fast some days, and I don't fast some days. I perform nikah, and I also practice abstinence. I also exercise with control within myself when I'm in my marriage. And this is how I conduct myself. Sometimes I perform ibadah, sometimes I leave it out. So he constructed that balance in his life regarding his ibadah as well. Even if you would witness the day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintaining consistency. With regard to the ibadah, I just want to make 2 points. Number one is, you would see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintaining consistency in his action. And this is why he said, he would have told you this, that أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The best of actions, the most beloved of actions in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those which are few in number but carried out consistently. And with regard to consistency, it is mentioned that when this verse regarding istiqamah and steadfastness was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the weight of this verse was literally so heavy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hair turned white. The Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, today you see white hairs on your beard. He said they were not many, by the way, but in any case, when they saw the white hair on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face, he said, it is because of this verse. First step you come out with, this is the verse that is called, I'm so concerned about maintaining consistency in my actions. This is the verse that has created the white hairs on my face. Similarly, you find another important principle regarding the ibadah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with you and witnesses, was that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam carried it out in such a way that it did not impede on his actual obligation. He carried out optional acts of worship in such a way that it did not impede on his actual obligation, on his wise, on his faraid acts of worship. So in light of this, you find that the Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he made this pledge that I'll fast during the day and I'll perform ibadah during the night. Entire night, I'll do this. In another narration, his wife came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and reported this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to him and he said, is this true that you've said that? He says, Ya Rasulullah, bi abi wa ummi, I have made this. This is what I have said. I have promised, I have pledged that I'll fast the entire day and I'll perform ibadah during the night. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't do this. Rather, a believer is rewarded tenfold for every good deed. So fast 3 days in every month. This is sufficient for you. You reward tenfold. So for 30 fasts, you're rewarded for an entire month. You don't have to fast the entire month. You fast for 3 days, you get the equivalent reward. He said, oh Nabi Allah, I can do more than this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fine, why don't you fast for 1 day and break your fast for 2 days? Don't fast for 2 days. He said, oh Nabi Allah, I can do more than this. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then fast for 1 day, break for 1 day. Fast of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, oh Nabi Allah, I'll suffice on that. I can't do more than this, but I'll suffice on this. When he grew older, because of this pledge, he had to practice on it. He had to now fast 1 day and break and not fast 1 day. He says, if only I heard the wisdom of Allah, if I were to heed to his advice, I would have not been in this predicament, because I obligated myself to such an extent that now my obligation, what is farai, what is farah, what is wajib on me, I'm having difficulty implementing those things in my life. So, as a result of doing this, when he grew old, it became difficult for him to maintain that same consistency. So, friends and elders, we see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, number one, if you were to witness his day with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll see him maintaining consistency in his actions, even though they may be small in number. And number two, he did not engage himself to such an extent that it impeded on his normal or wajib or farz activities. Similarly, you find, if you were to witness the day with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how would you see him conducting himself with his wife? You would see it in the eyes of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to engage in household activities. He used to engage with us, he used to engage in household chores, and when the adhan is to be given, immediately everything drops off, he's in the masjid. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participated in the household chores, and he further went on to say that the best among you is the person who is good to his wife. Now, friends and elders, I can see from the people sitting in front of you, many of you, all of you are men. If you just consider this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best among you are the ones who are best to their wives, good to their wives. Consider the context of our living. It is so difficult in this day and age to make a relationship last. A relationship like a marriage, you live with a lady. I'm not saying the women are always difficult. They are difficult at times, but please understand the context in which I'm saying this. That in this day and age, just to know that a person may have his relationship lasted for 25 years, 50 years, maybe 40 years, it is an achievement. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this at that time. Remember, he's saying the best among you is the person who's good to his wife. So let us learn from this aspect. If we were to witness the day when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'd see him being good to his wife, being kind to his wife. Similarly, you find very important and relevant aspect to this day. You find in our relationships with the ladies at home, in a marital relationship, there are ups and downs. There are times when things are not going very well, maybe a small argument of some sort, and then things come okay again, and it carries on like that. But in the life, if you were to witness the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you would see a day in which he's also upset with his wife. In the surah of Tahrim, in the 28th part, the last surah of the 28th part, it is mentioned that on one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Asr Salah, he had this habit of visiting his wife. So he visited Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, he partook of some honey. And as a result of having to partake of something, he became late and he could not visit, or he became a bit delayed in visiting Hafsa and Aisha. So when he finally came to them, they conspired that they'll approach Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that there's a very bad odor emanating from his mouth. So when he came to them, this is what he told them. He said, there's a very bad odor coming out from your mouth. Now, we all know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not like bad odors. So he announced, he took a promise that he would not partake of honey. There's another aspect to this story. But in any case, it was revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is what your wives conspired. This is what they had done. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became a bit disturbed with what his wives had done. Now from this aspect, you can glean, if you were to witness this incident, it would be an incident similar to your own life. There are times when you may not be happy with what your wife has done or your spouse has done. So friends and elders, if you were to witness the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you would see the same things, but you would see them being many expressed. But similarly, you find that if you were to witness the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you would see him going through calamities in his domestic life. There's an incident, a very famous one, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lost his son Ibrahim alayhi salam in his infancy. While he was still on the breast, he passed away. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tears emanated from his eyes. And the Sahaba said, oh Nabi Allah, tears from your eyes, you're the Nabi Allah. He said, this is the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in every person's heart. If tears do not emanate from your eyes at a juncture like this, then you are not a believer. Your iman is deficient. So we witness, if we were to sit with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'd see him going through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's trials and tribulations in his day-to-day life, in living as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, if you were to witness the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what would you see regarding his economic activity? You would see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participating like you and I. The non-believers said, مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. What's with this Nabi? How can he be a Nabi if he's participating in the bazaar? If he's walking in the bazaar, he's buying his own items. So this was the main objection. You'll see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you were to witness the day with him, you'll see him participating in economic activity like you and I. He's mentioned by a specific Sahabi, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam purchased a camel himself. He didn't say, he didn't deputize and say, you, my Sahabi Abu Huraira, you my favorite, you go and buy this from me. No, he didn't deputize. He said, I'll do it myself. He went to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and he purchased the camel himself. Similarly, you find Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion, he did not have a utensil to eat. So he loaned it from someone, he borrowed it from someone. And subsequently, that plate broke. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he replaced it. Because it was done out of some form of negligence, so to say. Obviously, we can't attribute negligence to Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, but I'm just using the word negligence for lack of a better interpretation. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to replace it. So he's participating in economic activity like you and I, he's borrowing something. Like how you and I would have to borrow something. He would participate in the bazaar, he would buy something, he would do it himself, he would deputize at times, but he participated at times. It is mentioned that he went to the bazaar on one occasion, he needed some grain, so he put his hand on the heap of grain, and he found that the top part of the grain is perfectly good looking, it's fine for human consumption, but the inner portion is stiff. So he told us, he reprimanded the trader, and he says to the person that a person who deceives others is not from amongst us. But friends and elders, besides the Masail and the laws that are derived from this hadith, the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participated in economic activity on a day-to-day basis like you and I is a source we can familiarize ourselves with the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Similarly, you find, if you were to witness the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'd see him praising people and giving credit to its due. On one occasion, it is mentioned that Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked, she was one of the wives, she was asked by the Sahaba, that how is the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his day-to-day life? She said, when he's inside the house and when he's outside, it's the same, it's identical. It's the same, there's no hypocritical behavior. He's the same inside, he's a good person inside, he's a good person outside, no hypocritical behavior. But then she regretted what she said. She said, she told herself that she might have revealed the secret of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when she informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I revealed the secret of yours, he said, you did not. You did the right thing. I wanted my ummah to learn my right thing. So he commended her, he gave her credit where it was due. He lifted her spirits, he motivated her by saying that you did the right thing. Similarly, the Sahabi by the name of Talq ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion he was engaged in the construction of a masjid with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw this man reaching I can't recall now, but I saw in the hadith. There was some mixture that was used as a plaster. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observed him doing it so nicely, he said, he told all the Sahaba, you refrain from doing it, he's the master. Talq ibn Ali is the master, you leave him to do it. So he gave credit where it was due on a day-to-day basis. Whenever he engaged people, he gave credit. If he saw something good in a person, he would commend that person and he would give the person credit. And until we even listen to those words, and it's coming, given that we're coming to the end of our discussion, on a day-to-day basis, if you were to witness your day with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oh, he's there, you'd see him sleeping in a specific way. He'll sleep on his right hand side. And the reason why he do this is because it is easier for a person to wake up, it is easier for a person to leave his sleep when he's sleeping on his side, as opposed to when a person is sleeping on his back or on his stomach, on his front. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept in this way purely to be able to wake up easily, to be able to engage in other activities. So we see from this just the method in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept. What about the constant attitude Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to his day-to-day life? When you and I, if we wake up, we say, ah, I'm going to work today, I don't feel like going to work. But before we drag ourselves and we get to work. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe because we're sleeping in the wrong way. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept in the right way so that he could engage in work. This is a positive outlook in life. He said, I'll sleep in a specific way so that I can wake up easily, I can leave my sleep, and I can engage in my activities. And last, friends and elders, if you look at the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or rather, let's put it this way. If you were to witness the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that day were to be the day in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ruh is taken. Imagine your position. Imagine you being in the shoes of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. When the ruh, you're spending your time with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is in your presence, then his ruh is taken away from you. This person who you looked at, you said, he's my role model, I want to love this man, I want to follow this man in every way, he's gone suddenly. Now, friends and elders, just imagine your position, how it would move you to this role model, this person who enjoys such centrality in your life, is gone. Imagine your own father leaving today, or your own, or any person who is central in your life, imagine that person leaving. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you were to witness the day, and if you were to, the day in which he passed away, what resolution would you make? Your resolution undoubtedly would be that as much as whatever this man has taught me, I want to instill in my life. I want to bring it into my life. I want to make every endeavor to bring whatever this man encouraged me to bring in his life. Imagine your own father saying, you know what, son, I see you smoking, please don't smoke, please don't drink. Please, I see you with your friends, please don't drink. He's encouraged me to keep there. The father passed away. 30 years passed. And now I've got gray hairs, and you say, you know what, my father always told me, don't smoke. So I leave it to him. Imagine it. That day you made the resolution that the person was so central in your life, he said, don't do this. So now you leave it. In the same way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged you. He has encouraged myself. Practice on his sunnah. Bring the sunnah in your life. The sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I tell you to listen to friends and elders, he's dying. You go to Medina Murawara, you'll see that I was there this Hajj Alhamdulillah. The sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina Murawara is dying. It's leaving the lifestyle of the Ummah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So friends and elders, today is not this few minutes that we gave is not sufficient to bring the sunnah of our lives. I can author a book, you can author a book, anyone can author a book of 5 million pages. It's not sufficient, it can't do justice to what this man has given us. So friends and elders, I'll urge you, the month of Rabi al-Awwal is not the only month in which we talk of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's supposed to have been throughout the year. It's supposed to have been a consistent effort to talk on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to implement his sunnah in our life. But all I urge you to do, friends and elders, I leave you on this note. Encourage, or rather, make a resolution to implement at least one sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this month of Rabi'ul Awwal. From this month on, try and implement one sunnah of Nabi, minimum one sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and try and maintain consistency on that specific sunnah. We may not know. Maybe the only sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at, the only action that they look at, and will grant us mercy and entry into paradise. Jannatul Firdaws, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, subhanahu wa ta'ala.